This week, we're responding to another listener question, this one, the important subject of life after death and what Christians think about it based on Bible verses. I hope it's helpful. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. We're continuing our little sort of mini series here of some listener questions, and I do want to return to one of those today. I have some more I will get to, I hope, soon. So thank you again to those of you who have submitted them. I am aware of the fact that I've not gotten through all of them yet, and they're fun to sit with. So here is the question that was prompted from, I guess, 3 weeks ago from an episode we did on Reflections on Heaven and Hell, I think was the title. We'll link to that episode if you want to take a listen to that again. So here's the question. I have been listening to the podcast The Bible Project and also Ask N.T. Wright Anything. N.T. Wright, as I will explain, is an author. Back to the question. My faith is strong, but as I dig farther into my Christianity, I seem to be learning that some are pointing to some verses that are mentioning that after death, that is it. I presume what the person asking the question is indicating there is that once we die, we're dead, and there's no life with God, no eternity, and so forth. Anyway, can you help me with some verses from the Bible that better explain that after death there is new life? Okay, and so I'm going to do that today, and I'm just gonna. This is, you know, as I often say in my sermons, this is certainly not intended to be exhaustive or comprehensive, but I'm going to, as the questioner asks, I'm going to lift up a few verses. I will say, you know, he mentions N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is very strong on the resurrection and does some really good stuff around early Christianity and sort of how the resurrection galvanizes those early Christians. And there are some actually YouTube videos you can find from him. We'll link to those as well. One is called Resurrection and the Renewal of Creation. Another one, and again, there are way more than this, but here are just a couple I found quickly. The Resurrection of Jesus, Fact or Ancient Fiction. Spoiler alert, it's a fact in N.T. Wright's mind. Anyway, N.T. Wright was a former Anglican bishop of Durham, I believe. He is a New Testament scholar, a really well-known author. He has books like Simply Christian, a big tome called The Resurrection of the Son of God, and How God Became King, The Forgotten Story of the Gospels. That's just three of them. He has many more than that. I would be surprised, though. I'm kind of curious where this questioner is. He lifts up N.T. Wright and says, he seems to be learning, the questioner again, that after death, that is, again, it, as he says. I don't think N.T. Wright would teach that. I don't think he believes that. And so I'm kind of curious where you're getting that. But back to your question of what are some verses that indicate that after death there is new life. So I will sort of tick through a few of these, again, without trying to be comprehensive or exhaustive. The Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's got a criminal to his left and a criminal to his right. This is chapter 23, verse 42. One of those criminals says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replies, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So that suggests something after death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And by the way, Paul, of course, wrote most of the New Testament, and N.T. Wright, again, is actually a very expert Pauline scholar. And in some of these verses from Paul, including these from 1 Corinthians, there's just these sort of towering language about the truth of Christianity. And here he says, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died," which automatically suggest he, Christ, is the first of many to come, right? So that he is the initial installment, if you will, of this new life through the resurrection. And then Paul goes on, and this is actually in Handel's Messiah, "For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as it all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ." And then later in that chapter, this is again some of this amazing, towering, beautiful, majestic language. "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality." And so there, by the way, is something I think I've talked about it in the past. N.T. Wright talks about this a lot. This isn't exactly the question the questioner's asking, but the cultural assumption is that when we die, our soul, whatever that means, is released, and that goes to live with God in eternity. Friends, that is not the Christian teaching. We confess in the creeds, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." And there in some of that language from Paul, you also get this sense that God made us as whole, entire creatures who are embodied, and that our body will continue with us in some way that we can't quite understand, in some mysterious way, in the afterlife. That's a really important distinction or point to make. It's a reminder that Christians view the body as a gift, not as something ugly or sinful. And culturally, again, I think people get that wrong frequently. Another verse, John chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled." This is verse 1, by the way. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." This is Jesus talking. "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am going, there you may be also." Okay, and so the implication there, where I am going, namely to return to my Father, to be with God the Father in all eternity, I'm going to bring you, us, his followers, with him. a couple more readings, passages. One comes from Romans 8, which is going to tee up the last two. And here again, N.T. Wright talks about this in one of those videos I mentioned earlier. And by the way, if I didn't say this already, N.T. Wright is great. And he says all of this far more eloquently. It takes a little longer for him to say it than I'm saying it, but he is worth listening to. I would commend those videos to you. And here, Romans chapter 8, he's talking about how creation itself is going to be reestablished, right? This is Paul again. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit," again, there's that first fruits imagery, "groan inwardly while we wait for adoption," the redemption again of our bodies. Okay, our souls aren't going to be released from our bodies to go live in some ephemeral eternity. Our bodies are going to be renewed. Which brings me then to the final couple of verses, and this is both the first and the 20th chapter of John. John is one of my favorite gospels, and the prologue to John is, again, back to this, I think of incredibly beautiful, majestic, towering poetry. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." So the whole gospel of John is paralleling itself to the beginning of the Bible, which begins with the words, "In the beginning." And so now here we are at one of the Gospels saying, "In the beginning was the Word," Jesus, "who was with God from all eternity," okay? And then you get through the whole Gospel, the life, death, the resurrection of Jesus, where now we're getting, I should say, to the story of the resurrection. This is in John chapter 20. And again, N.T. Wright points this out. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb." Early on the first day of the week. So it's as if John is saying, in the beginning there was Jesus, at the start of his gospel. And then here John is saying, this story I'm about to recount for you, the resurrection, is about a new creation, a new start. It's about creation becoming renewed in N.T. Wright's language. And just to confirm that, Mary, if you continue on in that reading, confuses Jesus with the gardener. She doesn't recognize Jesus. So that reminds us now that we're on the first day of the week, where? In a garden. And it's the first fruits of the beginning of this new creation, which, again, all of these passages, I would suggest, remind us that we will one day participate in fully and completely. In other words, that we will have eternal life, that we will have life after death with a God who loves us. So I hope that's a helpful, again, preliminary response, or it gives you a few verses to work with. Chris, I appreciate that question very much. Again, those of you who have asked other questions, thank you, thank you, thank you for those. Thank you for your patience as well. I hope to continue to get to them in the next few weeks. And I think that's it for now. So, as always, thanks for being with me. Be well, stay in touch, and God bless.